Well, hello, everybody. This is Single Life with Dr. G, dating over 40. And this is Dr. G, your love doctor, helping you to stay sane in this crazy world of dating. Now, you know, we always say it like that. It's not always crazy, but there are a lot of crazy moments that we all experience. I want to welcome everybody around this whole entire world as our listenership is growing each and every week. And we now are in more than 42 countries in more than 688 cities. So I would say that people all around the world are trying to navigate this single life. Those people that are in the grown category of being over 40. So to all of my handsome men out there and to all of the beautiful single ladies, welcome to another episode of Single Life. Now, you know, I have to tell you, I want you to join the Single Life group, Single Life with Dr. G, dating over 40. And if you are needing some one-on-one coaching to navigate these waters, please go to my website at drgladney.com and send us a message and we'll help you get through these waters. As you know, in our second season, we are talking all about hot topics. That's right. Each and every week, we tackle those topics that you have to have some help to get through it. And this episode, we're going to be talking about dating after divorce. That's right. You know, that hits about half of the population out there of the single world and the dating. And I'm going to give you some statistics in the did you know? And today we have some wonderful guests that's joining us in our candid conversations. And then, of course, we always have those crazy dating stories to share with you. And I leave you with a challenge of the week, something that's going to help you get just to another level and help you move through this dating life smoother. So are you ready to go? I'm going to give you some did you know statistics. We're talking about dating after divorce. So we got to look at the statistics of divorce. Now, I know everybody has heard that it's about 40 to 50%. And the rate of marriage is declining faster than the rate of divorce. But experts are still predicting that between 40 and 50% of all marriages that exist today will end in divorce. Unfortunately, let me throw out some more statistics that might shock you. The average divorce rate in the world is estimated to be 4.8 divorces per 1,000 married people. So now that doesn't sound too bad, does it? 4.8? That's not very big. But almost 45% of first marriages in the U.S. alone end in divorce. Divorce rates on the second marriage show that the average duration of the second marriage is 7.3 years for men and 6.8 years for women. Now, isn't that interesting that it's different for men than women? Guatemala has the lowest rate of divorce. In the Philippines and the Vatican are the only two countries where divorce is illegal. Can you believe divorce is illegal somewhere? Imagine if it was illegal in the United States of America. Us three talking right now would not be talking about this subject because we would have had to stay with the people we were with. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We can talk about that one. What if it were illegal? What would that mean for us? But it's only illegal in two countries. The average age for couples to get divorced the first time is about 30. The average cost of divorce is about $15,000 per person. Now, you know, there are songs that say it's cheaper to keep her. So that's a whole nother subject. And then 76% of Americans believe that divorce is morally acceptable. Okay. The average time to remarry after a divorce is 3 years. Now, we know some people don't wait and some people just don't get married again. And we'll talk about that as well. And they say 1 in 3 divorces start as an online affair. Now, that's, of course, a topic all on its own. They say baby boomers age 60 plus are divorcing at much higher rate than any other group. What's going on with the baby boomers? What's going on with the over 60 people? What's happening? Now, we could break down some of this, but I wanted to give you some statistics on this whole divorce thing. So now, you know, with the millions of singles that are out there, and let's say about half of the singles have been through a divorce. So, of course, we had to bring in some of our wonderful guests to help us talk about this particular topic. And who we have joining us today is Donna Reed and Delonda Burns. So let's welcome them to the show. All right. Now we're going to have them to tell us a little bit about themselves. So Donna, tell everybody who you are.
Well, thank you for inviting me today. My name is Donna Reed. I have been married for a little over 12 years and divorced for much more than that. I'm a mother of three grown young men and have two beautiful granddaughters. So I'm here also trying to work my way through this crazy dating season.
Thank you, Donna. Okay. Delonda, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you also, Dr. G, for having me today. I am Delonda. I am single for about 2 years now from an 11-year marriage, mother of two grown kids and a beautiful granddaughter, also trying to navigate this thing called single after 40 and dating, COVID, non-COVID, dating.
Yes, it's a lot. That's good. And what you'll notice, well, we didn't have a gentleman joining us today to give his perspective. There was something that came up at the last minute and he was unable to be with us. But, you know, we are women and we can hold this down. And of course, as you know, I was married for almost 24 years and been in the single world for the last 11 years. Ladies, as we are talking about this, and we know what it was like being in a relationship and being in a loving relationship and being a wife and all of the things that some people so desire to get to and have never been. And then you find yourself, for whatever reason, none of us got married thinking we were going to be divorced. Now, you already know when you spend that money and you're looking beautiful and you plan all of this time to walk down the aisle, you see yourself with that person forever. And as life has it, it just doesn't happen like that sometimes. So then you find out, okay, now you go through this thing called the divorce, and now you're in this world that you seem to know nothing about. And I know when I first got out here in this world, I was like, all righty, so this is what they call the single life. I was surprised. I was kind of shocked. I wasn't really ready for it. It's nothing that you can really probably get ready for. But getting out into this world, I felt lost. Did you ladies feel that same kind of way when you found yourself in the single world?
Absolutely. I think it's so different than when we dated, you know, 20 years ago, trying to figure out how to meet people, understanding the right people. Where, because, you know, you were married and so you did everything as a couple and couple friends. And okay, how do you start from scratch in singleness over 40?
Yeah, I was over 40 as well.
I can agree. I think to the point where I even decided to put dating on the back burner because of being a mother of three young sons, I decided to put my focus on them and actually stay away from the dating scene for a little while.
And I kind of made a similar decision in the way that I said relationship-wise. It doesn't mean I wasn't going out and having a good time, but I decided to delay relationship so that I could focus on my four kids because I knew that they needed my time and attention. Our kids don't ask for this, and they deserve to have at least one of their parents not be over in Cabo when they called them. You know, like if they need me, I need to be here. I need to make sure that they were the first priority. Let me ask you, ladies, what was the most surprising thing about being in the single world after having been married?
I think that the rules have changed. It was like a set of rules that I'm like, I need a guidebook. What's the to-dos and the to-don'ts?
Okay, and what do you mean by that? What rules specifically that you found were like surprising?
I see that men definitely courting wasn't done as long as I guess maybe when we were younger. It was things moved so fast. People were so quick to want intimacy quickly without even getting to know you as a person.
I was going to say that's probably the biggest thing. And then the whole reaching out in the, I think there's a song down in the DM, reaching out through Instagram or Facebook and talking and chatting and wanting one thing, or the extreme was, oh my gosh, you're perfect and you're the one. It's like, dude, you talked to me on the phone one time and you think I'm the one God sent? I don't think so. No.
Right.
So I was going to say the rules. It's like, what are they now?
Well, you know what? I don't think there are any rules. It seems to me that we're just making them up as we go along. And when I put the poll out in the Facebook group and was talking about what was the hardest part, the majority of people said that the technology and social media changed the game. Mm-hmm. Us, like you were talking about, Zalanda, this whole thing with Facebook, any of the apps, anybody could send you a message. It seems like you're accessible to everybody. People don't even have to ask you for your phone number anymore. They can call you to Facebook. I had somebody trying to call me when I was on my Facebook. I'm like, who are you? Really? You think I'm getting ready to answer my phone? I mean, obviously it says the name of the person, but I didn't give you permission. And before, when you used to have to, can I have your phone number? You know, at least as you're saying, yes, I do want to engage in a conversation with you further. But now people can just, like you say, they can just slide in. Even when they do get your number, all they have to do is text you. They call that a conversation. I have found that. I don't know, ladies. Are you annoyed with that? Like I have been.
You mean the lack of conversation?
That's what I mean. Just you texting and saying WYD.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like texting should suffice as opposed to picking up the phone and making a call. Or the few that were brave enough to make a call, it was all this dead air on the phone, like, okay, can we get beyond how you doing? I'm good. And have a conversation to get to know one another, ask questions. Yeah. That was challenging.
I'm going to say that I'm probably the guilty one because of the issues I had in the beginning with the phone conversations where it was just, I tell them about myself and it's like, oh, wow. Or it's like, hey, can we meet? Because they saw a picture. And I stopped giving my number out. I'm like, just message me. I have my list of questions. And then I just say, okay, nope. Have a nice life. We are not the one.
Oh, okay, according to how they answer the questions?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's nothing wrong with that. Because I think at this stage in life, we don't want to waste our time. And it's funny because, Don, as you were talking about the dead space, what I've been running into is the men that all they do is talk about themselves. They don't want to know about me. They're talking the whole time about them. And I'm like, excuse me, do you want to know who I am? And so maybe there's either that or on the other spectrum. And of course, there's no man here to refute any of this. So we just going to have fun with this.
But I wanted to piggyback on what Delandra said with the fact that you had your list of questions to ask. With now dating websites and this texting, I would base a little bit of judgment on how these gentlemen would respond to questions. I thought if they couldn't write a full sentence with a capital, a subject, a noun, a verb, and couldn't handle themselves that way, they wouldn't even make it to the second step.
And you know, there's some truth to that, because you know what that seems like? It seems like to me that you're lazy. Not that you don't think that they know how. They just don't want to put the time and energy. So it says something to you as a woman. I would look at that kind of thing as well. And so it's kind of like, how are you presenting yourself out there? But it seemed to me that one of the questions was, the hardest part is the mindset of the men. Have you guys felt that that's a challenge as well? Because it's like either Delanda, you were saying, it seems like on this end of the call, oh my God, you are the one for me. I've been waiting for so long. Or they're way on the other spectrum, is that they're going to reach out to you every other day And you know, they have probably five other people that they're reaching out to. So it's like, can we get some balance here? Can we get somebody in the middle? Is that something that you all have been finding as well?
Absolutely. You find that there's a connection and then it just goes radio silent. So like, okay, where was the disconnect? You know, be brave enough to say, you know what, this is not a good fit, or, you know, I'm dating other people. Even that would be fair. But just to be ghost is not acceptable.
I think for me, one of the things that has been interesting, and I think you had one of your podcasts earlier, you had two successful gentlemen. It's access. So it's like, okay, what number am I in your priority list for the ones that are seemingly saying the right things, but it's like, okay, you only can reach me during the daytime. And then that extreme of, okay, you're ready to get married. And I just want to know, you know, what you do for a living.
Right. And now how does this impact as a divorced woman that is already understands and knows what the relationship should look like? You know, because at one time, all of our relationships were happy and just, you know, wherever it evolved to. Well, we already know what a relationship looks like and how we should be treated as a woman, as a wife. How does it compare to what you experience out there now?
I think for myself, if they don't meet that criteria, I'm not going to waste my time. If I already know what I want and what I'm looking for, and if they are not stepping up to the plate, it's why bother? So I'll just move on and just, you know, I would be the one to say something. This, I'm not interested, or not harshly like that,
right?
But just thinking this is not really a good fit.
And I was going to say the same thing. It's that I know what I want. I know what I deserve. And so why settle for somebody who's not certain, somebody who doesn't know what they want? So it's like the standards, not in comparison to my previous marriage, but the standard is high because I know I'm worth it. That's how I know, okay, like you, Donna, it's like, yeah, it may be a couple text messages, a phone conversation. And if you get to the date, if we get there, that's going to kind of say, okay, we can see how this goes. But other than that, no. But again, it is with the purpose. It's a purpose dating, not just to hang out and kick it. And I'm number five on the roster.
I agree. Dating with a purpose.
Dating with a purpose. Now, you know, it was funny because another statistic said that men were more unhappy about a divorce and they have a harder time. This statistic, believe it or not, said divorced men are 8 times more likely to commit suicide and is twice as likely to suffer from depression and heart attacks. On the other hand, 53% of the women are much happier after a divorce, as opposed to 32% of the male respondents saying the same. Now, we don't have, again, any men on here to refute this. And I just thought this statistic was just really shocking. It was surprising to me. One, because men usually do not admit when they do have depression and all of that kind of thing. And so you would never know. And it seems like the men, like they rebound quickly or faster because they are jumping to another relationship. And we do know the way that they heal is different from us, or easier to jump in a relationship, whether it's a lot of women out there and because of the sheer numbers. But I thought that was just very interesting, and that women seem happier. I guess we're the ones throwing the divorce parties when it's all over. What do you all think about that statistic?
So one thing I want to say, I think not to discount mental health by any means, but for the men, I think that percentage you have to think about, and there's no man to refute me, so I'm sure they will chime in when you post it. But I think it's the, when they didn't already have somebody on standby or somebody already, you know, waiting in the wings. But for the women, I can say that it's twofold, because for me, it was releasing myself from the toxic relationship. That's when we get our peace. And we can go for our healing. And that's where we are happier, because I think historically a woman is always one who you cater to your husband. It's even in the Bible, you know, you care about the things of your husband and you take care of the children and the husband. And like me, you'll work a full-time job, take care of the kids, you cook the dinner, you clean the house, you do everything. But now again, over 40 grown kids. I do what I want, cook when I want, shop when I want, travel when I want.
And that's good now. But when I first got divorced, I think I had to take the focus off myself and put it on my kids because they were having behavioral issues and acting out because their dad was no longer in the household. So, of course, we had therapeutic sessions where we had family sessions, you know, one-on-one with themselves. So I had to take it away from myself and just basically focus on them. And with that being said, I really made a conscientious effort to not date for a while because I didn't want to mess up these dynamics by bringing another male into the picture when my kids weren't fully healed with their father not being out of the picture.
That's one of another question that was in the poll. And somebody added that as an option that, and about 35% of the people said that that was one of the hardest issues was dealing with people who have kids. So when you are divorced, typically you have children, and then other people out here in the single world, they have children. So the dynamic of getting together with somebody who has children or your children and how your children impact. And Donna, I so agree because I remember when I got out here and one of the guys said, well, you know, you carry a lot of baggage, Dr. G. You got four shorties with you. And so my kids, my shorties were considered or could be considered as baggage. And I could see why people were saying that, because if you don't have any kids and whatnot, which obviously means that you're definitely tied to your ex forever. And there are going to be father issues or, you know, they always say baby mama drama. I hate that because that kind of diminishes mothering. But drama can come into play because of that. And so that then does become one of those issues. And I had three girls and one son. And so I thought it was important. It's just as important for girls or boys not to see people running in and out of your life. Mm-hmm. Typically, as the mothers, we have the kids. So we're the single mothers. You know, I can remember feeling like, well, hey, how unfair is this when my ex can go off and do whatever he wants to do, but I have all the kids. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I had to be conscientious of what my life looked like for them.
And absolutely.
Well as somebody else. And if you're going to date somebody and they have kids, what does that look like? You have a plan going on and then something happens with their kids. And it's all of this stuff that it just seemed like it's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. I actually had to date on the down low. What I mean by that was I dated on the days that their dad had them or the weekends that he had them. So not to confuse them. And it was actually hard for the one person that I was dating at the time, because we were dating for maybe about 6 months. And he was like, well, when am I going to really meet your kids? Because it affected him like he thought he wasn't important enough to meet them. Yeah. So then I had to really reestablish that and like actually plan a meet and greet where I think we went bowling or something for the first time because I had to see things from his point of view. But I avoided him meeting my children. I was not ready.
Yeah, I know. I know how that was. I've done a lot of those things as well because you're like, you know, you just have to be careful. And particularly for me, I wasn't looking to get back in a relationship. I'm just having fun. So I definitely, my kids didn't need to meet who I was having fun mm-hmm. with. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
I can say, so the first time around, I'm single again. And I got married really young, like in high school the first time. And my two children are from my first husband. And when we got divorced, we were married 9 years. And I can say I didn't really date, but when I did, it was the same thing. It was the, okay, I can do day dates or I can, you know, have the kids hang out with somebody and I go because I didn't want to meet. But I think as parents, when our kids are younger, we don't want to introduce them to somebody who is not even a thought to mm-hmm. be a life mate. And so I didn't do that. It was 8 years. And then I met my second husband And, you know, it was just instant. They already knew him. We were in the church together and it was like, we connected well, and then we married. But I think something you said, Donna, so even my adult son, and my granddaughter, my daughter, the pain of divorce resonates with our children, even as adults.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, wait, this was my father, stepfather, and now he's not anymore. But he is, if he wants to be. But it's a matter of that hurt that our kids have. We still have to deal with that when they're young, when they're older. And we don't want to reintroduce them to just anybody because, again, we may date. Nope, you're not the one. Not to bring anybody just to meet our kids.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you, are you ladies open to getting married again, or where do you stand having already have been married? And is it still important to you to get married again, or you've been there, done that, got the t-shirts and you'll be okay to just have a loving companion? Where are you with all of that?
When I first divorced, I was absolutely against any notion of remarrying. I'm like, single life, this is it for me. But as I healed and I opened up my heart again, I'm like, I'm willing to take that chance again if the right person comes along. But I definitely know what I'm looking for, and not just the first person that sings that tune that they're interested in and wants to get married. It would have to be the both of us feeling that that's the step and direction that we'd want to take this relationship to marriage. But to answer your question, I do not oppose marrying again with the right person.
Okay.
And for me, so I'm the less single person, 2 years. I am in my season of single. COVID helped me to heal because I've been isolated and having faith. I don't want to be alone the rest of my life. So I am definitely open to forever marriage, but this is it. It would be, like you said, Donna, it has to be completely divine, the one, you know, not perfect, because there's no perfect person, but I would do it again. Yes.
So, but feeling like that, because I felt like mine was sent from heaven, feeling like it was completely divine the first time, does that give you extra pause to say, okay, I've done this, had gone through a marriage and divorce again, I don't want to do that again? So do you think that that kind of helps you? Does it put up a wall for you? Does it put up extra layers of protection to make sure? And how can you ever really make sure? You know what I mean?
That's a really good question. And you're right. So I did think the last one was it. It was, again, we met in church and all of that. But I think for me, it's understanding the whole person. I think the first time I was super young, the second time it was that sweep you off your feet, 3 months engaged, 6 months married. So really getting to know someone and understanding all the dynamics of them. So the family dynamics, I wish I would have known then. I think one of the things that my pastor is talking about, if it's an online dating, are they still seeking and searching and looking, so that those habits and those things that somebody has. So I would take my time to make sure I fully understand. Because to your point, I thought I got it right the last time. Well, here I am, single again. And really taking my time to know the person and the triggers and the good and the bad and the ugly before we even go that far.
At my church, our pastor preaches that the single life is the preferred life. And, you know, he has his points that he makes with that. But for myself, I feel that I do not want to spend the rest of my life by myself alone. I would love a mate that you can share laughter, the jokes, the tears with, share the two families that you bring together, and just enjoy life fuller. But it has to be the right person, because, you know, if it's not the correct person, it could bring drama in your life, and that will not make it an easy road at all. You really have to choose cautiously. But I think because we're in that 50 plus group range for me, I know what I want and I want what I know. But I'm not willing to settle at this point.
Yeah. And that, you know what, that's good. And, you know, for me, you know, I guess I've just been on this journey. I kind of enjoy where I am, wherever that is at the moment. And it was the concentrated effort to be decidedly single, but definitely open. I was never at a point that I didn't ever want to get married again. I just knew it wasn't on my 5-year goal list. And I would say that every year. So every year that 5 years moved on, that it wasn't a part of my goals. Now, just the opening of whatever God may have for me is being in a different place. Now, do you all find that men respond differently to you? You think being a divorced woman, that they look at you differently? I think the men that are divorced, they understand because they've been in a marriage before, but the men that have never been married, how is that? Do you feel a difference in how men respond to a divorced woman?
I can say that I haven't had any encounters. I think everybody I've met has been divorced, so they get it. I'm also about to be 50. So it's like that my age bracket has shifted. But I haven't met anybody who hasn't ever been married. And that's the crazy thing, a single person.
It's funny because most people I meet, for whatever reason, just assume that I'm married. I don't know if it's the way I carry myself. I don't come off desperate, or I'm not sure what it is, but they tend to be surprised that, you know, I'm single. I've never really gotten any negative feedback.
Wow.
As far as that is concerned.
Okay, so you carry yourself like a married woman.
Apparently, because I'm not chasing after anyone.
I've had people tell me that. Well, you just seem like you're married anyway. Like, well, what does that mean? It's so funny. What energies that you put out and sometimes what that may mean to you just seem like you're good. I'm good with however and with whatever with life. And that was, as we're wrapping up here, that was one of the other questions that was put out on the poll, is the mindset of the women. Is that a hard part? And a small percentage answered yes. And did you all feel like when you got out here as a divorcee that the mindset of women and how they responded to you or how they felt about this single life, was that different? Did that bring any challenges for you?
Maybe I would say just to the extent that more competitiveness. I guess there's so few men and so many of us that I guess women would try to stand out with whatever they do, whether it's the way they dress, the way they present themselves, and maybe a little disrespectful to you because they're interested in someone that they see is a potential, but it doesn't faze me.
Yeah. And I think for me, that was like a surprise because, you know, here I am coming from a space, and now that you know you're divorced and you go through all of this and the healing process and everything else, but I'm all excited. I'm ready to have fun. I'm out just having fun. And what I realized was that everybody, most of the other women were out to find somebody. And I wasn't out trying to find anybody. I just wanted to have fun. So if I'm dancing with you, it don't mean nothing to me. I just want to have dance. I just like it. And what I was finding was that it was some tension because it seemed like that, I don't know, I was out there and this guy, they had their eyes on. I don't know who had their eyes on anybody. I'm just trying to have fun, people. And it was coming across, like, I guess you said, Donna, is this the competition? And I wasn't competition with anybody. I'm not trying to get a man, okay? Now, if they come to me, don't blame me, you know, that a man is coming to me. But I felt like that was a real big issue. And I had to really learn how to just like, oh my goodness, let me stand back because I'm looked at as somebody, maybe I've already had something that you're trying to get. I don't know. So that was a learning lesson for me and one of the challenges.
I can say I haven't had any concerns. I think I'm that person, that extroverted person. So like you, Dr. G, I'm one that I just having fun. I love to get together and hang out. And so when I would see, you know, someone kind of looking at me like crazy, I'm the person that, oh, girl, I like those shoes, or, oh, I like that bag, to put a smile on their face. Like, I'm not competition. Right. I'm just having fun. I'm not manhunting. I'm not, you know, I'm good. I love to dance, but if he's yours, have him.
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to dance. Go ahead. Right. And, but I think in some of the different social settings, I did get that vibe that, who are you and why are you here? It's like, okay, no, oh girl, I love your makeup. You know, trying to say, look, I'm not competition. I'm just here to have fun.
And yeah, we'll have to talk about that at some point, about the women and how us binding together instead of, you know, fighting each other or feeling like we're competition or putting in a position that men make you feel like you're in competition. Wherever it's coming from, we need to kind of stop that and disrupt that pattern. Yeah, so that's going to be another podcast at some other point. But yeah, so ladies, as we are out here and some people are newly divorced, what kind of advice would you give to them? And even, it doesn't have to just be to ladies, but to the men. This is a segment of the population that we have to pay attention to because we're here. And so what kind of advice, your last minute thoughts that you would give to a male or a female on this dating after divorce?
My advice would be to take time for themselves and heal. Because I was turned off by some people when holding conversations to find out they were newly divorced or newly out of a relationship. And it's like, why? Why are you talking to me now? Take time for yourself. Get to know who you are. Enjoy your freedoms. Enjoy your male or female friends. Just enjoy life. Don't try to rush into anything so soon.
I second that. Definitely heal. Take time to heal. Don't jump into the next. But one thing my pastor said in a series that he's doing that hit home for me is focus on your part in the breakup of the marriage, the relationship, not the blame, not they did this, not they did that, but your part. So how did I contribute to the failure of my marriage? And then how can I be a better person and do better the next time, if there is a next time? So that's what I've been doing. I know, saying, okay, here's what I did, but now I'm a better person because of self-love and heal.
And that's good. I definitely concur with that. Just the learning. And I just say from the mental health space, you know, when I would meet a guy and he say, well, I'm so, how long have you been divorced? I'm like, you need to be divorced a year. I would say that just because a person does need to, and men heal differently. They're not as emotionally sometimes vested, even in the marriage. Sometimes they know how to shift stuff and they compartmentalize. And it seems like that they don't have feelings, but they do. And I still think that everybody needs to take that time to learn the lessons and to write down the lessons that you've learned so you don't repeat them as you're doing your self-reflection and as you're healing and as you're praying. And then just kind of getting some time for yourself, because what happens is, and I just heard this research this past week, they said that there's a marriage DNA gene, okay? Whatever that means, this is gene for being married, and that some people that have it do well or better in marriage. And what I've been finding out here, and this is not validated research, if you will, but it seems on this journey, the singleness, that the men that get divorced, if they want to be remarried, they get remarried within the second or third year. They get remarried rather quickly. If they don't, and you meet somebody that says they've been divorced for 6 or 7 years, their intention is not to get remarried right then. You know, not saying they never will be, but they're enjoying their single life. For women, I think it's a little different. Sometimes some of the women want to get remarried again, but they don't have that person, you know, asking them to get married or haven't found that person. So our journeys are a little different. And I just want everybody to understand, like I say, we all have different experiences, and how our opinions and how we are have been based up on our experience. And I think it's really important at this stage in our life that we do know exactly what we want And we know exactly what's good for us, not want, need, like my book says, finding the man, attracting the person that you need at this particular time in life. And so all of the divorcees out there, I don't want anybody to ever, I got a question during this TV show earlier this week that after a divorce, people are usually hurt and they don't want to get married and they don't want a relationship. And you know, you have all of this negative energy. Well, then don't get involved. You shouldn't, because you still have energy and emotions that you have to heal from. When you're actually healed is when you know that you can open yourself up to somebody else and say, hey, you know, it may be a possibility to the possibilities. So until you get to that point, you're not healed. So just take the time and just enjoy your life and enjoy yourself and don't get anybody else wrapped up in your hurt and pain and your trauma. This is good, ladies. Now it's time for our crazy dating stories. So we have some crazy dating stories that we're going to hear. So Delonda, I'll let you go first.
Okay. So last year, I'm part of a lot of different singles groups on social media, and I met a guy. He messaged me and it's like, okay, I always give a chance just to see. Conversation seemed good. We talked. It's like, okay, COVID opened up, you know, social distancing, and we met in somewhere in Arlington, and I'm the one, I got my questions list. He passed, check, check, check. We met. All I can say is, his profile picture was the right angles. It was done very well. It was, and I was like, you know, I'm one I'm going to check out. And so he looked nothing like his Facebook picture. And then two, it's like he kept trying to tell me, he didn't say this in the communication, but he kept leaning to just, oh, you're so gorgeous. And oh, the things I do to you. I'm like, we're not there. What are you talking about? I'm just, you know, this is the first face to face. And then he happened to say something. Yeah, well, once I move, I'm like, oh, why are you moving? He wasn't even divorced yet. He was separated, living in the same house with his wife. And I'm like, wait a minute. I know I asked you if you were married. That's my first, married or in a relationship. And he's like, oh, you know, well, we're getting divorced and it'll be final in 6 months or whatever. It's like, my divorce took 3 months. What are you talking about? And he had an apartment he wanted to go look at and around the corner. I'm like, okay. I was like, you know what? Oops, I got to go. It was just a disaster. And so I graciously messaged him while I was sitting in the car, said, good luck with your divorce. Have a nice life. And I blocked him.
It's almost like some of these men, and I've told some of them really crazy stories. It's like they think that you're just going to believe and buy into it because you're, I guess, so desperate for a man that you're going to be okay with, oh, yeah, my wife, we're still together. We haven't gotten a divorce yet, but yeah, that's crazy.
Well, Dr. G, as you know, I am 5'10" tall. So anybody I talk to, I always ask about the height. On my profiles, I put down my height and I always mention interested in tall men. So that's just my number one thing. So it amazes me how many times I come across men that say, oh, I'm 5'11", I'm 6 feet tall, whatever, with not thinking this through, that if we meet, that you are going to be found out. So I've been talking to this one person for quite some time because of the COVID season, and the time was right that we decided to meet in public. While I was waiting for the person, I'm watching everybody coming and thinking, okay, that's not them. That's not them. And I see this person come up and I'm like, okay, nice looking brother, but no, that can't be him. And when he approached me and I realized this was the person I was waiting for, and you know, I put on a little bit of heels, so I'm probably now 5'11", and I'm looking down at this person and he's looking up at me, and I'm thinking, why are we starting this with deception? It's going to get worse from here. So I just don't like when people are not truthful. Own who you are.
Well, you know what, Donna, they said that men and women, 76% of people lie on their profiles on dating. So I did a lying podcast and they said, everybody lies about numbers. Women lie about numbers. Men lie about numbers. Women lie about how old they are and how much they weigh. Men lie about how much money they make and how tall they are. So everybody's lying. Everybody's lying about something. But that's just the thing for men. They lie about their height. And even with women lying about their weight or what it's like in your age, when people see you, they can figure it out. And I don't think that people think that far ahead. I think they believe that I'm going to make you fall in love with me, with my voice and everything else. So that by the time you see me, it's not going to matter how tall I am.
But wait, or they know how to take the right pictures at the right angle.
This is not true. Who is this? And I told a story of one of mine that the guy, he was so handsome. And when I saw him, it had to be his son, the picture that he had sent or something, because this guy looked like a homeless man. He looked like a old version of the person. And I'm like, what is this? Oh my gosh, how does this happen? How is this working? And I think when, like you said, when they see you, I don't know what could be going on in their head. This is always so interesting. People enjoy the dating stories. Thank you, ladies, for sharing. Thank you for coming and sharing your thoughts and opinion with the audience. Let's thank them for coming.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.
And before we leave, I have to leave you with a challenge of the week. Now, to all of the divorcees out there, I do want to challenge you to do the work on yourself, to make sure you've done the healing, look at yourself, find out what your stake was in the demise of whatever the relationship is, and write down the lessons learned so that you will know and you can learn from them. And then write your relationship goals on what you're going to do differently this next time. Because I tell you what, if divorce was illegal, all of us would be doing something a little bit different. Okay? And we're going to have to talk about that because that's hilarious. But anyway, thank you all again for this another episode. Please go to drgladney.com, get a copy of best-selling book, Power of Attraction, Get Any Man You Need, Not One. Join us on the Facebook group, Single Life with Dr. G. And until the next time I see you, I want you to have an amazing life. This is Single Life with Dr. G. Take care. Oh,